The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. On Tuesday, September 7th, the province officially launched its proof of vaccine card. The announcement was made yesterday at a news conference attended by Premier John Horgan, Health Minister Adrian Dix, and Chief Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry. Here is Dr. Henry.
As of September 13th, I will have new public health orders in place requiring proof of at least one vaccine to access these businesses and events. I will say until September 27th, you can use our new BC vaccine card, and I have more details about that. Or you can also show your vaccine record, the card or paper that you received when you were immunized. As of October 24th, you'll be required to present your BC vaccine card showing you're fully immunized to access this same list. So what we're talking about are indoor ticketed sporting events, so whether you want to see the Canucks or the Lions, indoor concerts, theater, dance, and symphony events, so that we can get back to those arts events that we are so missing and being able to do it in a way that we can reassure each other is safe. Licensed restaurants, including indoor and patio dining and cafes, and restaurants that have table service. So what is not here are fast food restaurants, cafeterias, food courts, where people grab and go or drive through. We know that those are much different situations. People are there for a much shorter period of time, and it's not practical to require somebody to try and check a vaccine card in those settings. We also are including nightclubs, casinos, and areas where people now will be able to be reassured that they can go to these places more safely. Movie theaters as well. We're including some of these high-risk settings that have so impacted businesses, including fitness centers, businesses offering those indoor recreational classes, indoor high-intensity classes like spin classes. This will be that added layer of protection so that businesses don't have continuing clusters and outbreaks and aren't needed to be closed during this coming fall. As well, importantly, organized indoor events. So right now, there's gathering limits that starting at 50, so weddings, parties, conferences, meetings, workshops that are indoor events where people are gathering together with the public. And discretionary organized indoor group recreational classes and activities. These are the activities like seniors' fitness classes, for example, where you will now need to show proof of vaccination to attend those safely. As you can see, with all of these, we've learned other ways of participating. So if you choose not to be immunized, then there is ways that you can support your local restaurants by continuing to do takeout, by participating in outdoor exercise activities or online activities, as well as watching your favorite Canucks game on TV.
At that same press conference on Tuesday, Health Minister Adrian Dix assured the media that the vaccine passport would be easy to obtain.
So there are these opportunities if people are isolated to get support from others and to reach out for support. In addition, we're going to be working with lots of service organizations and health authorities to reach out to people who have other challenges in terms of getting the vaccine card. So there's lots of opportunities. If you can't get your card, if you're not able to download it, you can call us. Multiple languages and get service. We have lots of available service online in different languages, and I encourage everyone to do that. And I think we've demonstrated in reaching out over the last number of months everywhere in BC that the opportunity to get vaccinated and to get information about the value of vaccination and now to get the BC vaccine card will be available to everyone, and the supports will be available in multiple languages.
However, it is not clear if anyone without a personal health number or some other form of government-issued ID would be able to obtain one of the passports. On September 1st, when the vaccine card was first announced, Pivot Legal Society issued a joint response to BC's public health order regarding proof of vaccination, outlining several concerns society has about the vaccine card. The letter reads in part, quote, "This measure fails to account for the diverse needs of people who utilize a variety of public, private, and communal spaces who will face legitimate barriers to accessing a vaccine card. These people already face adverse consequences associated with the pandemic, as noted by the Office of the Human Rights Commissioner. Given the ongoing failure to undertake comprehensive outreach to communities facing barriers within the medical system, a vaccine card requirement presents an additional exclusionary measure in addition to existing concerns." Among the signers of the open letter are the Overdose Prevention Society, the BC Civil Liberties Association, AIDS Vancouver, and Watari Counseling and Support Services Society. After Tuesday's press conference, I spoke with Ingrid Mendez, Executive Director of Watari Counseling and Support Services Society. Hello, Ingrid Mendez, and welcome to The Pulse.
Hi, James. Thank you for having me.
I'd like to just start with very quickly, maybe if you could just remind our listeners what this vaccine passport is that the province is introducing and what they think it's supposed to accomplish.
Well, I think we all are very, I think there's no clarity on what this is and exactly and how this is going to roll out. I think there were some news today on the vaccine card. It's going to be on a website, and we're going to be able to print it, or we're going to have it on our cell phones. But how this is going to look like, I don't think it's clear for a lot of people. I think what they are really hoping to accomplish is for everybody to get vaccinated, or at least from what I can hear from the news release today, is from going from 85% of people that have been vaccinated to 90 or 95. So really trying to increase the numbers of people that are vaccinated. That's what I believe from what is being said on the media.
And especially, I would guess, to get the second dose too, because that 85%, I think, is just people who have had at least one dose, and it's somewhere like 75 or 76% of BCers have had two doses.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Pivot Legal Society, when this passport was first announced by the government, issued sort of an open letter to Adrian Dix and Bonnie Henry, addressing some concerns that they have. And of course, many organizations such as Watari, those working in the downtown east side, have signed on to it. Can you briefly outline what the letter was in response to the passport, and who are some of the vulnerable people that you're concerned about?
So, yeah, the letter is basically raising, as you said, concerns about this passport, but especially for those people who cannot access so easily, people that don't have a BC ID or a government ID, either because, you know, they're struggling and are on the street and will not be able to access an ID. People that are, like, in our case, for example, we're supporting people who are here with precarious immigration status, and people will not have a BC government ID. So the letter just touches on these points, you know, access for people whose government name is inaccurate, access for people who cannot be vaccinated due to complex health conditions. We're also recommending that we need to address some areas of concern, such as, you know, people who don't have MSP, undocumented migrants and other migrants who are denied MSP, access for low-income people without identification, and addressing identification barriers, addressing barriers to vaccine access, supporting community-led responses, and addressing enforcement. So there's quite a few points that this letter touches, and there's quite a few organizations that have decided to add their names to the letter. And yeah, so, you know, really calling on the government to work with all of us, all of these organizations, to create more equitable access to this vaccination card. That's what we're asking for.
I'd like to spend a little bit more time going into a bit more detail about these vulnerable people and start with maybe, I understand, undocumented migrants and other migrants. They're not eligible for medical services in the province, yet they were still able to get the vaccine. So now, somehow, is this right that they would not be able to get this vaccine passport?
We work really hard for people to come to our vaccination clinics, connected with a lot of people. We work in with the support of the amazing team at Vancouver Coastal Health, with the support of RayCam Cooperative Center, the support of the BC Federation of Labor to run these vaccination clinics, and really, calling on the community to come and get vaccinated, supporting the health system at the end of the day, James, because we all want to get over this pandemic and make sure that, we're safe or safer than we were a few months ago. So making sure that, we don't represent, by being vaccinated, we don't represent a risk, but also our health is not at risk as well. So we were really calling on the community to come and come through these vaccination clinics. And the community did. We had, for example, our clinics here at Watari, we had more than 2,000 people that came through those vaccination clinics. What is not right about this vaccination card is how are we going to make sure that these more than 2,000 people are going to have access to this card, because they don't have a BC government issue ID, or like you said, because they are not eligible for MSP or they don't have a PHN number. Among these populations are also agricultural migrant workers who grow the food that we eat, grow the plants that we enjoy in our gardens, and grow the fruits or pick up the fruits that we put at our tables. And so agricultural migrant workers, when they come to BC, many of them have a private health insurance provider. They don't have MSP or a PHN. So they will not be able to access this card if this card is attached to that. And we could print it. I was reading some of the questions and answers on the website for the province, and we could print these cards or find a way to print it, but they will still need to show a government issue ID. So I guess that's, again, going back to the beginning, it's not really clear how this is going to be organized by the province. And we're really, again, calling on the province to really work with us to make sure that people get equal access to this vaccination card, since they already have their first and or even their second dose. So just let's create together equal access for this vaccination card.
I'd like to know a little bit more, too, about how people who use drugs, how does that make them vulnerable and make it difficult for them to be able to access this vaccine passport?
Again, a lot of people who are struggling with using drugs and alcohol many times don't have a BC government ID. They won't be able to access. So we need to create a way that organizations that have signed this letter, for example, and other organizations that support different populations that are already marginalized can get or can help people access these cars.
One other thing, in reading through the letter, I noticed of the listing the people who would be particularly vulnerable is one. I'm quite happy to admit it would never have occurred to me that they would be vulnerable, but people whose government name is inaccurate. How does that sort of thing happen?
Well, a lot of times people are fearful of different things in their lives, and they prefer to give a different name. And a lot of times people also, are in transition for a different gender, and they don't have their names don't match the original names, and they are still in the process of changing those names. So that's why their name is different from what the government has. And also for migrant populations, if you are here with precarious immigration status, you change your name if you don't wanna use your name. When people come to health services and people don't like, my name is Ingrid, but I might wanna use another name if I want to, especially if I am fearful of using my real name. Maybe I'm fearing violence, and I know that my partner is out there looking for me, and I wanna hide my name because I don't want my partner to find me and my kids. You know, there are many different situations in life, James, that forces us into changing our names. And women who experience violence are one of those populations that many times will need to do that.
I'd like to move on now to the recommendations. What are some of the recommendations outlined in this open letter?
Well, there is quite a few, recommendations, and one of them is supporting community-led responses. So, you know, we're talking about maybe creating exceptions, but will that really be helpful? We could do it and we can try it. But I guess one of the ones that I find really important is engage organizations in the design of policies and guidelines that impact the communities we belong to and serve. I think that is very important, that every time the government wants to design a policy, really consult with those who are going to be affected and really work with us, work with community grassroots groups in finding ways to include everyone, regardless of what they're struggling with, regardless of their immigration status, regardless of their name or that the need to change their name. You know, let's work together to address these barriers so that they are not barriers anymore.
The province has made it very clear that they plan to issue fines to people who don't have one of these passports, fines to organizations who don't accept the passport or don't enforce it. How would you like to see enforcement addressed? I know the police and the people in the downtown east side have a very, you know, contentious relationship.
Yeah, well, it's you know, a lot of this relationship is also related to trauma. When we talk about population in the downtown east side, there's here, not only in the downtown east side, but, you know, in the different cities across British Columbia, there are people who live with trauma. And many times, unfortunately, that trauma has been caused by police or any other authority. When we talk about people who are here, we also talk about survivors of war. You know, people who have come here from having experiences with police and government that have caused major trauma. And by saying that this is going to be enforced by police, just takes people back into that trauma. Just takes me back into my own trauma, being a refugee here, as I came here many years ago, and the reason why I left was because of persecution by the government. And it's that trauma stays with you, and you do some work with trauma and everything, but stays, and many times one little thing backfires and brings trauma back into like being real again. So it's very concerning that the province is talking about addressing this with police. It is very concerning for many who have experienced trauma trauma, and that trauma has been related to police, either police here or police in any other country. Enforcement is always enforcement. So for me, it's very concerning, and we should find other ways to support this process that the province wants to do. But the main thing here is let's make this accessible to everyone, regardless of. Let's make sure that everyone has equal access to this vaccination card.
What sort of effect do you think it'll, this not being able to get a vaccine passport, what sort of effect do you think it'll have on the people who may be denied this passport? I'm sure a lot of people listening may think, well, you know, so what? You can't get into a movie theater or a discotheque. Big deal. But obviously, it would be a big deal. Can you sort of expand on that a bit and say how this is likely to affect the people, the vulnerable people in the downtown east side?
I like to give you an example, if that helps. So here at Wachari, we support a lot of families who are here with precarious immigration status. They won't be able to get access to BC government ID. They won't be able to get access to this vaccine passport or vaccination card the way it's being talked about right now, unless things change. Hopefully they will. These families, many of them are our neighbors. Many of them, we see them in the bus, and many of them also contribute to the economy. These families, we support them through providing free tickets to a soccer game, such as, you know, a Whitecaps soccer game. Our partners at Pizza Front help us with those free tickets. So that time is the only time that this family will feel distressed. You know, it will help with the stress that they're going through because of their situation in Canada. We also provide those tickets to families, especially single moms who are experiencing violence. And so they can attend events that usually they won't be able to afford. But, you know, with those free tickets, we're able to make that possible. This vaccination card will not allow us to do that anymore, James. And that's our concern. It's not, you know, it's not about the PAV and so what the big deal is. It's about those special events where people are free and, or, you know, that they can pay for. And for many of these families, they just dream about it. And when we can make it possible, they are so happy. And, you know, they share their pictures with us on how much fun they had. We won't be able to do that anymore with this vaccination card.
We've already mentioned that we're recording this here on Tuesday afternoon, and earlier in the day, the government announced details about the vaccination passport, how to apply for it, and so on. I don't know how closely you checked the press conference, but did you see anything at all to suggest to you that the province is trying to address any of the concerns outlined in this letter?
I couldn't really follow the whole thing. I was just reading some of the content. What I saw was that the province is thinking that social services organizations such as ours can print the card. But if the card is attached to a government issue ID, then that doesn't help. We will be more than happy to support people with printing a card or printing a passport. Issue is, what if it's attached to a BC ID or a BC services card? That's where we need to find ways to make this accessible to everyone. Families, children, people who are struggling with whatever they are struggling, and we need to make sure that this is accessible to all.
One of the recommendations, of course, you mentioned was that the government reach out to the organizations working in the downtown east side, such as Wataree or Pivot and so on. Have you seen anything to suggest that the government has done that? Are they reaching out?
Not as far as I am aware, it hasn't happened. Hopefully they have reached out to Pivot already. Not sure. I think they will have communicated that, but not that I am aware, James.
Has there been any response at all that you're aware of to this letter sent to Adrian Dix and Bonnie Henry?
Not that I'm aware. I haven't heard about being any response to this letter.
Are there any other concerns that you have about the vaccine passport that I haven't already asked you about that you would like to express?
No, I think we went over all the concerns, and hopefully the government can work with us or can make this more accessible to people that are already struggling and being marginalized, people that are isolating themselves. Hopefully we can make sure that there is equitable access to this vaccination card.
Well, it's been really great to have a chance to speak with you, Ingrid, and I hope this cat who's sitting next to me and meowing didn't disturb you in any way. But it's been really great to have a chance to talk with you today, and thank you very much for joining us here on The Pulse.
Thank you, James. I thank you so much for having me, and I wish you a really great rest of your evening. Take good care.
That was Ingrid Mendez, Executive Director of Watari Counseling and Support Services Society. You can learn more about Watari by going to their website, watari.ca. You can read the joint response to BC's Proof of Vaccination Health Order at Pivot Legal's website, pivotlegal.org. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.